I would like to have you turn your scriptures to John chapter 17. That's in the New Testament for those of you who are beginners. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 17. Would you all please stand for the reading of God's word? After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, and they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." You may be seated. Or if you listen better standing up, feel free to stand up. There was a man in California. There was a man in California who wanted to fly. He wasn't a pilot, but he had a great desire to fly. And so what he did is through sitting in his backyard in his lawn chair, he began to scheme of a way to fly, and he thought that if he filled enough weather balloons with helium and attached them to the lawn chair, then he could fly. And so one lazy Saturday afternoon, he filled a number of helium balloons, of weather balloons with helium, took his pellet gun, strapped them to the chair, and had his wife cut the cord. Might have been one of the happiest days of her life. And do you know that man shot straight up? I mean, he went way up. It wasn't 100 feet, 1,000 feet. He was up over 10,000 feet. So much so that the pilots flying out of LAX were, I'm sure they were afraid to call in. You know, they're thinking, you know, "Sally, did you just see a guy in a lawn chair with a pellet gun?" I mean, you know, how do you call that one in? As it turned out, the guy got up so high he couldn't breathe. And he had to start shooting the balloons with his pellet gun so that he could slowly descend and end up back on Earth again. And that's what he did on a Saturday. How did you spend your Saturday? It pales in comparison, doesn't it? The world believes and they believe foolish things, and they believe them with their whole heart, and they live it. We are not of the world. We believe differently. What does it mean to be in the world but not of the world? To be in the world. Now, the word world has a number of different meanings in the scripture. It can mean all humanity. It can mean the earth. It can mean simply the redemptive arena in which God works. I want to talk to you about the world in the way the world believes. The world believes differently than Christians do. The world believes that man is good and is getting better. It is amazing to me that our world, century after century after century, believes that man is good and getting better. We talk about the great acts of mankind to help other people. At the same time that that program goes off, there's a commercial for shatterproof glass in your windows of your cars. Man is getting better. He's doing wonderful things. By the way, since a number of people are now breaking your windows and taking your purses, you can get shatterproof glass. There was an ad on the television yesterday. It said that if a lot of drug dealers are around your house, leave your lights on at night because they're like roaches and the lights will chase them off. Now I'm thinking to myself, if man is good and getting better, why do we need shatterproof windows? Why should we leave our lights on? Why don't we just leave our doors unlocked if man is getting better after all of these years? Another thing that our world believes that is not true is that education causes a person to be morally refined. Greater education, the more you can trust a person. You drive through certain neighborhoods and you're safe. Other neighborhoods, you're not. Why is that? Probably more education. More education makes people safer, more pleasant to be around. Instead of saying rude things to your face, we've learned to say them behind your back. If education made us better, wouldn't Washington, D.C. be a wonderful place to live? And yet it's filled with liars and adulterers, just like Dallas. It's interesting to me that a humanist can argue strongly for protecting animal rights while at the same time endorsing abortion. How can you value the life of an animal over the life of a baby in a mother's womb? Our world is filled with, I was going to say paradoxes, but I'm going to say ignorance. It's ignorant to think that way. And yet we live in that world. Here we are, brothers and sisters in Christ. We're in this world. But Christ says we are no longer of this world. In other words, if you just take that little phrase, you see there is a tension that exists between the Christian and the world. There should be tension in your life if you are a Christian when it comes to relating to the world. If you do not have any tension in your life when it comes to relating to the world, you may be in the world and of the world. You are the world. There should be attention. Now I want you to think a little bit about what it means to be in the world and yet not of the world. Rather than just using that word of, I want you to think of not belonging to the world. You're in the world, but you do not belong to the world. You see, Satan has made the world look rather pleasurable to us. He's encouraged us to embrace the world. And you know what? Everything about the world is not bad. God has given us the world to enjoy. I know a number of people who won't go to movies. Okay, don't go to movies. But what I want you to be aware of, it's not just the evil out there in the movies that should concern you. It's the evil that lives in your heart. The reason movies are bad for a lot of us is because we like them. If you went and didn't like it, it wouldn't be much of a temptation, would it? But we go and we like it. That's the problem. That's the problem. Not enough tension between us not being of the world with the world. Satan makes it look so good. A number of you know I have an older brother who is a heroin addict. And I asked him, Mike, why did you start doing heroin? He said, I liked it. I liked the way it made me feel. See, there's a stress, there's a void in your life. And the world says, fill it with this. So he filled it with drugs. And he took a little bit. But after he took a little bit, he developed a tolerance for a little bit. And then he needed to take more. And then he developed a tolerance, and then he took more. And eventually, the thing that relieved his stress took over his life and began to cause his stress. Sin, though pleasurable for a moment, leads to destruction. His life, even to this day, is destroyed because he believed what the world said. And his life's been destroyed. What is the difference between us and the world? Okay, if we're in the world but not of the world, what does that mean? First of all, we have a different nature. We have been changed by the work of Christ. He has delivered us from our nature. He has changed our character. Now, there's a number of different ways to respond to this information. God has made me different than the world. I'm in it, but I'm different than it. What are some ways of responding to that? I'm going to hide from the world. We're never going to turn on the television. We will not own a car, especially with the DART system. Who needs a car anymore, right? All these different ways we're going to run away from the world. I would submit to you, that is not what God said. God did not say run away from the world. So we've got two problems here. Are we so much like the world that we look like the world? Or are we so much other than the world, we have nothing to do with the world? No, we're in the world, but not of the world. You can be in a swimming pool and not be water. I'm in the pool, I'm not of the pool. That's a picture of who we are. In the world, but not of the world. What does that mean? It means that we live differently. God fills our hearts from the inside out. And as we grow in Christ, the world becomes less and less appealing to us. As you grow in Christ, He fills you. He fills you, and you begin to understand, looks good now, not good later. It's like the old diet plan. If it looks good, don't eat it. Or don't eat very much. Or don't eat when anyone else is looking. That diet plan. We're in the world. We're not of the world because Christ has changed our character. Therefore, we live differently. The world has nothing to offer you. The world has nothing to offer you if you are in Christ. It is a delusion. It is a trick. It does not possess eternal value. It cannot satisfy you forever. It will not do that. I heard a story about a rancher in Australia who raised hogs and then turned them into hams. And the process of doing that, at least one of the steps, is that you take a portion and you rub it with salt. And you rub it with salt, you rub it with salt, you rub, in fact, you rub it with so much salt you wonder if you're curing your hand or the ham. And you rub it and you rub it and you rub it, and then you wrap it in a bag and you set it up in the smokehouse. And one time this family was going to have company over, and they had company come by, and they said, "Ron, go out into the smokehouse and pick out a big ham." And so Ron went out and he picked out a ham and he brought it in, and the mother, getting ready to serve the meal, cut open the sack, and the ham was filled with maggots. And she said to Sam, she said to him, "Not enough salt. Not enough salt." Do you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, we do not exist solely for ourselves. We are in the world, but not of the world, because we exist for the world. It's not like business where your God is the bottom line and you exist in order to produce enough profit to move forward. The church should be an ugly organization. We should be inefficient. We shouldn't just have three people doing the greatest job possible while 4,000 sit. It's better for us to have 4,000 people involved, because each and every one of us exists not for ourselves, but for His kingdom. We are in the world, but not of the world, because we exist for the world. You see, we live differently because our character has been changed. We date differently. Our high school students and college students date differently because Christ has changed their hearts. They don't date men or women who still live in the world. They date people who are in the world but not of the world. Because for a Christian to return to that which Christ has delivered them from is a very messy situation. Our kids have entirely different standards, even though it's normal for teenagers in Dallas to drink. Our kids do not define what normal is by the world. It's defined by the Word. A Christian's culture is defined by God's Word. The culture has placed Scripture underneath itself. And you see the havoc that we live in. Husbands leaving wives, wives leaving husbands for the allure of the world. Do you know, diamonds are made under pressure. And the tension that exists for us as Christians who are in the world but not of the world, it's a great tension. It's hard. It's heavy. You do not pray to receive Christ and your troubles go away. I would even say more troubles come. Because everything you think and everything you say and everything you do is to reflect your new character. And when you reflect your new character in a world which does not share your convictions, you will have tension. You will have tension. I want to talk in the closing moments that I have about what it means to exist for the world. in but not of, yet for. We are here to be sanctified in preparation for heaven. To be sanctified in preparation for heaven. We are set apart for God's purpose. Now, a number of you are looking at me saying, Tim, how do I know I have too much world? Because I'll tell you, I've lived here almost 6 years now. I know the deal. The deal is this. Yes, I want Christ, but I want all the world I can get without nullifying Christ. I mean, can't you have both? I don't know if you can have both. Maybe you can't. Maybe I can. The question is, does the world keep you from your purpose? If you told me, Tim, I have a great job, I really love it, but I love to sleep late. I love to sleep till 11, and you came to me for counseling, and I said, does your sleep keep you from doing your job the way your boss wants you to do your job? And if you said yes, then I would say go to bed earlier or don't sleep as much. If you say, as you're listening with me, and you say, am I about the purpose God has ordained me for? And I'm going to get to that. If you are not, then I would say it could possibly be that you have too much world. You're off track. What is our purpose? We're set apart, we're sanctified, we're getting made more ready for heaven. And part of that is suffering. Suffering causes us to share in Christ's suffering. Some of the dearest saints seated in this sanctuary are people who have been suffering. They've lost loved ones. They cannot believe he's gone, but he's gone, and they've suffered. Oh, and they love Christ. Oh, they love God. God is so full to them. We suffer. My brother wanted to be a fireman when he grew up. And he used to hang around all the fire departments in Chicago. And I said, Pat, why did you hang around those? He goes, the old guys would come in and their boots were dirty and their coats were smoky and they had burns on their hands. And they'd sit around and tell stories. Yeah, one time we had to go up on the fourth floor and I... See, a fireman wasn't a fireman unless he had a little smoke in his coat. Brothers and sisters, it seems as if we're so busy trying to stay away from the world, we're so busy trying to protect ourselves from the harm that could come, we don't have any smoke in our clothes. Sharing in Christ's sufferings gives you smoke in your clothes. You long for heaven. You realize your purpose. You're here for Christ and his kingdom, not just for comfort. Comfort can rule our lives. Christ did not die in vain. He died that we would take his message to the world. Do you know the story of Jonah? Everybody thinks, whale. Yeah, but no! The story of Jonah is about the Assyrian people who are evil, religious, sophisticated, rich, like us. And God, in his compassion, loves them. And he says, Jonah, go. Go northeast. Jonah goes southwest. So God brings a fish, gives him a ride. God says, go again. Jonah says, yes, sir. We have a compassionate God who works in and through selfish people to reach poor, wretched sinners. Where are you in that chain? I know you're not a compassionate God. Are you a poor, wretched sinner? Or are you a selfish saint? God has chosen to work in us and then through us to reach the world. Brothers and sisters, we are sent. We exist for the world. We do not allow ourselves to be assimilated into the world, but we engage the world that we might share the gospel. It's the only thing that can change their lives. It is. Another social program won't do it. That's like rearranging the chairs on the Titanic. It's not going to work. They need the gospel. And God is sending us. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. We are not a country club. We're not a country club where we handpick members. We are an army. We are an army. We are God's army. He has sent us. Let me close with this story. A few weeks ago, a good friend of mine and I were heading down for a two-day getaway to play some golf. And right before we left, our housing arrangements changed because a member of the church heard that we were heading down. They said, I use my house. It's there. If you use it, I'll feel better. I have to pay the bill anyway. So my illustrious golfing partner, Tommy Bain, was in charge of getting the directions to the house. So I'm driving down the road. We're heading down 35 South, making pretty good time, as much as a Christian can. Driving along, and I said, Tommy, you got the directions. We're getting close. Tommy goes, well, I know the street. Again, okay, Bain, I'm going to trust you. Driving along, we finally get on the street. Bain weaves us through, and we end up on the street. Go, we're on the street. This is great. Where's the house? He goes, I go, Tommy, you do have the address to the house, don't you? He says, you know, I didn't get the address, but... And he pulls out of his bag a garage door opener. We are driving down a street, about a mile long, by the way. Both windows down. Third house from the end. We pull right in. Nothing to it. Brothers and sisters, I know that we are Presbyterian. I know that that means that many of us are Calvinists. We are to click our opener on every person God gives us opportunity. We speak His word. God opens the door. We don't know whose heart He's going to open. We don't. We think He'll open her heart. She's not interested. She's too busy. We think He'll never reach this poor, miserable soul. They believe in Christ, and now they're an elder at the church. We don't know. We don't know. But we do know that God is a mighty, mighty God. And He works in us while we are in the world, but not of the world, in order to be for the world, because they need the gospel. He fortifies our life, protects us in such a way that we are able to walk in this world in order to be the light of the gospel for this world.